Sport on RT Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 2-3-1 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, see kia.com.
Now, with more joy from Doha, here's Darren Frell.
Good morning, Mary. Argentina, world champions, following their penalty shootout win over France. It was a final that had it all. A remarkable French comeback, an Mbappe hat-trick, a late extra time equaliser, and at the end of it all, Messi left holding the World Cup. A game for the ages, and this is how it unfolded on Saturday Sport yesterday. It's a kind of magic.
De Maria gets into the penalty area, he's got a penalty! Messi! Sends it the wrong way, Lionel Messi! There's a chance for Argentina, they've got to get a second and going, it's in! De Maria! Here comes Mbappe! Oh, good goal, it's 2-1! Coleman gets the ball away from Messi and tries to launch France into this attack. Mbappe! It's 2-2! It's unbelievable finish by Mbappe. And here's a chance for Martinez. Great Flores. It's Messi. That's across the line, surely. Oh, is he giving it? It's a goal. Here comes Mbappe. And he sends it the wrong way. And it's 3-3. It's a hat-trick in a World Cup final for Mbappe. What a game. Messi from the Argentinian captain against the French captain. Lloris, here's Messi. Oh, that is just cheeky, beyond belief. Coleman steps up now, saved! Gonzalo Montiel, he's the man to take the penalty. If he scores for Argentina, they will be the world champions. Standing between him and a World Cup title for Lionel Messi as captain. Here he comes. Oh, he sends it the wrong way, and Argentina, the champions. They've confidently dispatched all four of their penalties, and Montiel wins it. Argentina are champions for the third time.
John Kenny calling it home on Sunday Sport. Yesterday was Sunday, wasn't it?
It was Sunday, not Saturday. We're right. But you know what a weekend it's been. And that was a lovely edit.
And I want to give credit to Barry O'Neill, who stayed in late last night, put that together. I set Barry a challenge. Can you get 8 big moments into 90 seconds? And he delivered,
and
Mary.
And he did it. Beautiful.
Fantastic stuff. Now, that was the magic. I wanted to reflect on the tournament as a whole, though. From a football perspective, I think it'll go down as one of the best yet. Other positives, the ease of getting around to all the games, having it in one city. And I know not everyone was happy with this, but there were no alcohol-related arrests throughout the entire month. Can you believe that? On the other side, allegations of sports washing, bribery for the hosting rights dominated the build-up, as did their human rights record, their laws criminalising homosexuality and the treatment of migrant workers. Well, I've been talking to Professor Mike Cronin. He's director of Boston College Ireland. Mike is a historian and he travelled to the group stages of the tournament, and he's been telling me why this has been a World Cup of conflicts for him.
It's a very strange place to visit in terms of, given all the news before the World Cup started, which was wrapped in, quite rightly, the human rights debate, the sort of the deaths of guest workers and immigrant workers. It's a strange thing to walk into a beautiful stadium, and the first thing you kind of reflect on when you're standing there is people died building this. And that was, I think, the whole thing that I found when I was in Qatar, is that it's a very conflicting experience, because you have the stadia, the city, which is beautiful, functional, an amazing metro system. Everything is shiny, brand new, but you understand as well the human cost that made this thing happen. So it's a very strange experience.
People died building this. That's a very powerful and evocative line to use, Mike. How did you get your head around and live with that, being at those games?
It's very difficult. And I think as well, you've got to understand that you've got a city that had welcomed in reputedly nearly 2 million people to watch football, which the actual Qatari population is tiny, that every person you dealt with, whether it's a person on the metro, many of them had come from Kenya, whether it was the people in the place you were staying who'd come from the Far East, that everybody you deal with, everybody you interact with is a migrant worker. And they talk about their contracts they're on, they're here for 2 years, they're here for 2 months, that you have an entire city, an entire economy, and then an entire World Cup that has been built around the idea of labour that does not conform to our normal sense of, you know, workers' rights and so on. And that, again, is it's culturally very, very challenging because it's not part of our kind of lived European experience where workers have rights and so on. But then again, you talk to taxi drivers, you know, people in restaurants, etc., and they say quite clearly that they're earning more money than they would do at home. So it again, at every turn, it's very, very conflicting how you actually process what you're seeing. Yes, you're there at the football, but you're also walking through this kind of modern metropolis, which part of it just feels egregious all the time.
Speaking to colleagues over the course of the last month, there was a feeling there that they're not really seeing the real Qatar. Did you get a feel for the country itself?
I mean, I think the idea of the country is very difficult. That once you're, I think one of the stadia that I went to a couple of times is about an hour north of the city. And you literally drive through the desert. I mean, the country is desert. There's Doha and then there's desert. You're thinking about something the size of Dublin within the M50 and everything else being nothing. So it's a very strange country in the sense that the country is the city and that's all there is. And you get the sense it's a temporary city in the way the stadia are, that, you know, what does Qatar look like in 30 years' time if the gas runs out, if the wealth runs out? What function does it have apart from being an exercise in, you know, excessive wealth creating this because they can? Once that wealth goes, it has no function.
What do you think the legacy of this World Cup will be, Mike?
I think that's a very difficult question, to be honest, because I think the legacy will be obviously the football memories. You know, a tournament was held, the sporting memories are there. The legacy, did Qatar come out of it well compared to how badly their PR message was when they went in? Very complex. The legacy is they will go after a lot of future sporting events, be it, you know, golf tournaments, tennis tournaments, maybe an Olympic bid. And I think that's where we have to be very careful. I think the one thing that is interesting going to that World Cup was we arrive with a very Eurocentric view of the world. And we say, well, you know, major sporting events should go to people who conform to our standards, our culture. So we're not having a discussion about Canada, Mexico and the United States in 4 years' time for the next World Cup. But America is deeply problematic. And yet we don't have that discussion. But we do have that discussion when it's a human rights country in an Islamic setting. So I think we've got to look at our own contradictions about these legacies.
Mike Cronin there. People died building this stadium. That's a line that's going to stay with me for a long while. The other headlines this morning: Ballyhale will meet Dunloy in the AIB All-Ireland Club Hurling Final. Munster beat Northampton in the Heineken Champions Cup. And jockey Davy Russell has announced his retirement from horse racing.